Admit it. Our public debate has been reduced to reading each other's bumper stickers. Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. I made up most of them, and most of those when I was mad as hell about something. So if you hate war, empire, central banking, cops, Republicans, Democrats, gun grabbers, and status of all stripes, go to LibertyStickers.com, and there's a good chance you'll find just what you need for the back of your truck. Own a bookstore? Sell guns at the show? Get the wholesaler's deal. Buy any 100 stickers and they drop down in price to a dollar a piece. You can spread the contempt and make a little money too. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.
Alright, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show. ScottHorton.org is the website. We're also on No Agenda Global Radio, NoAgendaStream.com, TalkStreamLive.com, etc., etc., etc. And first up today is Gabriel Sukenik. He is, I previously worked for the National Right to Work Committee and the Ron Paul Presidential Campaign, and currently he is the director of Coinapult at coinapult.com, and also check out bitinstant.com. Welcome to the show, Gabriel. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you joining us today. So listen, I was hoping you could teach us some things about Bitcoin. Let's start with, maybe we can go back and sort of fill in some gaps. Well, let's start with the news. The national government came after you, but then I went to Mt. Gox, and I saw that the price didn't seem to have fluctuated all that much for having the national government come after you. So I was just hoping you could, you know, fill us in on what's going on there and what's the reason.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mt. Gox, which is one of the largest Bitcoin exchanges that currently exists, they have, you know, accounts that are all across the globe because they have customers from all over. And one of their, maybe even a handful of their U.S. Bank accounts, are basically, Mt. Gox right now is not registered as a money transfer business in the U.S. So I'm sure Mt. Gox is going to be looking very, very closely at their U.S. bank accounts now to try and make sure that they do fit within U.S. regulations so they don't have to worry about their bank accounts getting shut down. But, definitely the U.S. government is keeping a close eye
on companies
that are now involved in Bitcoin.
You're telling me that the Mt. Gox guys, it wasn't that the feds were really going after Bitcoin to destroy it and that was their first step or something, but the Mt. Gox guys had actually just overlooked crossing a T, dotting an I, and they got called out and they fixed it and now it's okay?
Well, they haven't quite gone all the way and fixed it. So, you know, their account is still, their Gwala account in the U.S. is still shut down. But it's certain, right, you know, the U.S. government isn't saying, okay, we're shutting down Bitcoin. They are saying they're going to keep a very close eye on the exchanges, which, you know, as libertarians like you and me, I think, you know, that's something we can expect.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, well, do you know what sort of laws existed, you know, like in what way do the legal tender laws apply or whatever, the way the law existed before Bitcoin was invented? Is there a danger that they'll be able to take existing law and use it against you or not?
Oh, well, I mean, to some extent they already are, you know, making sure that they're basically saying as long as you can convert Bitcoin back and forth to ordinary government currencies, once you make that conversion back into U.S. dollars, that's kind of their regulatory turf. So they're going to be keeping a very close eye on exchanges that are going back and forth from fiat currency to Bitcoin currency. So to me, that's kind of just to be expected of the U.S. government. You know, certainly not something I would prefer. But, you know, the U.S. government does claim to have authority over any sort of money transmission that happens within the United States. So basically any sort of banking service where dollars are being transported, they want to make sure that they have regulatory power over.
Of course, yeah. All right, so now let's talk about the price a little bit, because as I was saying, the price didn't seem, and look, I'm not the closest Hawkeye on this question or anything, but it didn't seem to me like the price fluctuated very much when Mt. Gox was back online. Just same as it was before, no?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't too bad. When the news first hit, I think we went from about, call it $120 to about $105.
Oh, okay.
So there was certainly some volatility that came. But we've already seen a bounce back from $105 to, I think we're at about $118 or $119 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are starting to catch on that when there's this you know, kind of forced selling and people just get scared, that it's almost an opportunity to just step in and buy Bitcoins for cheap.
Right.
So, and Mt. Gox, of course, isn't going to be the only exchange on the planet. There's going to be lots of other places where people can buy and sell Bitcoin.
Right.
So even if Mt. Gox blew up tomorrow, there's still going to be solutions for how people can buy and sell Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what is it, a month ago or something, Bitcoin hit their high of 200 and what?
It was about 266, I think.
Wow. Okay, now, so it was funny because in a way that looked like, oh, okay, it was just a sort of a pure bubble of excitement or something. But then I wondered whether there's an interpretation to a case to be made for the interpretation that, no, that was just Bitcoin picking up the slack from the panic in Cyprus as everybody was running on the bank and trying to put their money in a safe place for a very short-term period of time, which jacked up the demand really fast. And then it all went right back, you know, well, not all the way back down to where it had been, but more than halfway back down. But so I wondered whether that was a big bubble that popped or whether that was a particular instance of a real steep spike in demand right there.
Well, to me, I would say it's kind of both. There's a lot of factors that come into play when you're trying to figure out, you know, where Bitcoin prices are going. So you bring up Cyprus, and that was definitely a big example. Another example that happened recently was when the U.S. Treasury Department came out with a release about, I think, maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, where they basically said, okay, Bitcoin is legal, but we're going to regulate the exchanges, which kind of circles back to what we were just talking about, Mt. Gox. Once they said that Bitcoin, as far as they were concerned, was legal, you had a lot of U.S.-based investors that basically got the green light. They were like, okay, well, it's legal, so let's go buy some Bitcoin.
Right.
So that was certainly a factor. And on the downside, with the bubble crashing, what's interesting about Bitcoin is because it's still so new, a lot of this infrastructure, the exchanges, people's ability to buy and sell, it's still being built and it's still very new. So as the price was escalating to, you know, over $250, Mt. Gox, which, again, the largest Bitcoin exchange, was basically getting overloaded with so many requests for, you know, people opening up new accounts and trying to buy and sell Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got so overloaded, it basically froze their trading books. So all of a sudden, people were panicking because basically, imagine the largest exchange was basically closed. So there were a couple different factors at play, and I would hesitate to really say it was one thing in particular. But Bitcoin is going to be, because Bitcoin is such a new currency and it's such a revolutionary concept, it's going to be very volatile for years to come until a lot more infrastructure is built and until a lot more people are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would expect, you know, more bubbles going into the future. I would expect more crashes in the future. And, you know, just for anybody getting involved in Bitcoin, that's just something you should understand.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sorry because we're so short on time for me to bring up such a broad topic, but it makes me wonder whether the entire concept is actually bubble activity itself, not just a bubble in Bitcoins, but a bubble in American, you know, U.S. dollars. And that's why people are going to Bitcoin. So it's sort of like the tulip inflation in Holland wasn't just an inflation in the number of tulips. It was inflation in the money, and then the money was put into the tulip market. You know what I mean? Like Beanie Babies 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever that was the big thing. I wonder what you think of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look around the world, there's no shortage of paper money, whether it's, you know, U.S. dollars or, you know, citizens in Cyprus or the euro or the yen. There's a whole lot of reasons for people across the planet to start looking at Bitcoin, whether it's for monetary policy purposes or technology purposes or, you know, hide your asset purposes. You don't want anything to get confiscated. So there's Bitcoin really brings a lot of unique characteristics that haven't existed in a money before. So I would certainly expect it can get pretty bubbly as people with U.S. dollars and people with euros in the end decide, you know what, I'll spend it on Bitcoin. And because Bitcoin is such a small market, I mean, you know, U.S. dollars, there's trillions and trillions of them. Bitcoin, there's only 21 million. So, you know, I would definitely caution everybody and say definitely expect volatility. And
right. I'm sorry, we got to go. Like, that's Gabriel Sukenik. And, oh, no, what's the website again real quick? Coinapult.com. Thanks.
Coinapult.com and BitInstant.
Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the journal of the Future Freedom Foundation. Every month, Plumline Individualist editor Sheldon Richman brings you important news and opinions on policy by heroic FFF President Jacob Hornberger, hard-hitting journalist columnist James Bovard, and others from the best of the libertarian movement. The Future of Freedom tackles the most important issues facing our country, from the bankrupt and insane welfare and regulatory states, to foreign wars and empire, the dismal state of our economy, and ongoing assaults on civil liberties. This society needs peace and freedom for prosperity to prevail. Subscribe to the Future of Freedom in print for just $25 a year or online for $15 a year at fff.org/subscribe. And hurry up, because this summer they'll be running my articles about the wars in Libya, Syria, and Somalia in the Future of Freedom too. That's fff.org/subscribe for the Future of Freedom. And tell them Scott sent you. Oh man, I'm late. Sure hope I can make my flight.
Stand there.
Me? I am standing here.
Come here.
Okay.
Hands up, turn around.
Whoa, easy.
Into the scanner. Ooh, what's this in your pants?
Hey, slow down. It's just my...
Hold it right there. Your wallet has tripped the metal detector. What's this? The Bill of Rights?
That's right. It's just a harmless stainless steel business card-sized copy of the Bill of Rights from SecurityEdition.com. They're for exposing the TSA as a bunch of liberty-destroying goons who've never protected anyone from anything. Sir, now give me back my wallet and get out of my way. Got a plane to catch.
Have a nice day.
Play a leading role in the security theater with the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's the size of a business card, so it fits right in your wallet, and it's guaranteed to trip the metal detectors wherever the police state goes. That's SecurityEdition.com. And don't forget their great Fourth Amendment socks.
Hey, guys, I got his laptop.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against a depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. Hey everybody, Scott Horton here. Ever think maybe your group should hire me to give a speech? Well, maybe you should. I've got a few good ones to choose from, including how to end the war on terror, the case against war with Iran, central banking and war, Uncle Sam and the Arab Spring, the ongoing war on civil liberties, and of course, why everything in the world is Woodrow Wilson's fault. But I'm happy to talk about just about anything else you've ever heard me cover on the show as well. So check out youtube.com/Scott Horton Show for some examples, and email scott@scotthorton.org for more details. See you there. Over at AIPAC, the leaders of the Israel lobby in Washington, D.C., they're constantly proclaiming unrivaled influence on Capitol Hill. And they should be proud. The NRA and AARP's efforts make them look like puppy dogs in comparison to the campaigns of intimidation regularly run by the neoconservatives and Israel firsters against their political enemies. But the Israel lobby does not remain unopposed. At the Council for the National Interest, they put America first, insisting on an end to the empire's unjustified support for Israel's aggression against its neighbors and those whose land it occupies, and pushing back against the lobby's determined campaign in favor of U.S. attacks against Israel's enemies. CNI also does groundbreaking work on the trouble with evangelical Christian Zionism and neocon-engineered Islamophobia and drumming up support for this costly and counterproductive policy. Please help support the efforts of the Council for the National Interest to create a peaceful, pro-American foreign policy. Just go to councilforthenationalinterest.org and click Donate under About Us at the top of the page. And thanks.